Devin. I'm the uncle.
And I am Charlie. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. I would also like to welcome to all of our listeners an old friend of mine by the name of Dan. How's it going? And today is a very special day, Charlie.
Why is that, and Uncle?
A celebration, if you will, of the movie Transformers. Today was the first day that you were able to legally buy Transformers toys at the toy store.
I like the legally term. That's good.
Well, there was a whole big deal where some stores had broken the street date, and managers had gotten in trouble, and some people were like bragging that they had the toys and other people couldn't get it.
Well, on your website that you like, the TFW 2005, I remember a while ago some people saying, hey, these toys are on the Walmart.com site, and so they even had pictures like of them holding the toy with like their shipping receipts, so I guess that's what you mean, right?
Yeah, a lot of Transformers geeks, some of them got lucky. They like to post and brag on the internet, and I personally got upset. But I am thrilled to report that the toys are available and out, and I rush and encourage everyone that's interested to pick them up.
That's fantastic. So today was the day.
Today was the day. I was actually, Dan called me. How many times did you call me, Dan?
I probably called you about 12 times and texted you about 13.
Oh, man. That warms my heart.
Yeah, no, my phone was off. I was doing errands earlier today, and Dan left around 7 messages. Dan actually was cool enough to wait outside of the Toys R Us nearby us before the doors opened to get the first crack at the toys.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice job. Nice job.
Yeah, I was sitting online with a bunch of dealers who I personally don't like.
Man, it sounds like you and I have a lot in common, Dan. All right.
Yeah, Dan was actually fraternizing with the enemy, Charlie.
Well, no, but the fact that, you know, you're not really down with the dealers, you can, in your own mind, draw that fine line between yourself and the dealers, because I'm assuming, and I don't know much about you, you're not really in it for the money that you might potentially get by reselling these things that you got up early to buy, but that you actually enjoy them on their own merits.
Well, yeah, I'm a collector first and foremost. I'm not really in it to make a profit. In fact, I'm probably in the hole a few grand.
Yeah. Boy, are we familiar with that here at the Preserve.
And I'm very proud of Dan because he has actually bought one of every of the action figures of the entire movie line.
That is great. Now, maybe we should get right into it, and you can tell us a little bit, you know, how many are they? How many, you know, are there different price points, that sort of thing?
Well, Dan, first of all, how much would you say it cost you to buy one of each of the action figures that are going to be in the movie?
Probably about, I think, $250 total.
Nice.
You gotta remember, they only released, so far, I believe, half of the figures.
Okay.
Obviously, Megatron has not been released yet. I think they're waiting for the movie for that.
But Optimus is out now?
Yeah, Optimus runs a $40 prize tag.
Wow, alright.
And Ed's an oversized figure.
Okay, so he's kind of the size of the $39.95 ones from the last wave of stuff.
Right. He also has batteries. He makes some sounds, lights.
Is it now, Uncle? I remember your bitter and venomous complaints about that last Prime that I bought, the really fancy one in the neat box, and how the speaking voice is in no way, shape, or form Peter Cullen. Have they fixed that in this toy, or do they not even bother with quotes? He just makes like firing noises and engine revs.
Unfortunately, this toy doesn't have any voice clips from the movie. It only has like gunfire sound effects and like I'm transforming sound effects. So in terms of that department, I can't really complain, but it would have been nice to have some Cullen voice attached to the action figure.
Yeah, because, you know, they've got him on the payroll now, I guess. I don't know how that works, but all right.
Yeah, Charlie, this Optimus Prime action figure, it's just an excellent action figure. I went over to Dan's house earlier today, and he had taken it out of the package, and he showed it to me, and it just, I almost want to say perfect.
Wow.
In terms of its accuracy to looking like the real truck, to its articulation and its movements, to its lights and sound features. It fires on all cylinders. It's a very, very, very strong entry. I suggest anyone that even remotely likes Transformers to check this guy out.
Oh, that is exciting news. I am, and you know, it's funny, because in our previous Uncle Casts, I've often taken the position that, you know, God knows I have an entire apartment attached to my home that is full of the Preserve, and that's not even enough space by a long shot. So I've said, well, I'm going to have to just be strong and not delve into the movie toys. But honestly, hearing that and seeing the pictures that I've seen online, it almost feels like a disservice to not check them out, because they've really, I guess, done a great job.
They really have. And again, I think this cuts it a large part of what we're all about. I had said to myself previously, the only toy I'm going to buy of the movie line is this Optimus Prime because he looks so awesome.
Yeah.
I, of course, made the mistake of calling up my good friend Dan, and he said, let's just look at Toys R Us. So naturally, just buying the $40 toy turned into a $90 expense.
Ah, fantastic. So you too went to, you did make it to Toys R Us, Uncle?
We actually did. Dan went for the second time today.
Oh, good.
I picked up, in addition to Optimus, I got the $20 Blackout helicopter and the $10 Scorponok. And Dan, what have you told me about Scorponok?
Scorponok is one of the chase figures, as what I had heard.
Oh, good.
Under-manufactured, unproduced. There's a few other figures in the set that are like that, but Autobot Jazz and Bumblebee are going to be, obviously, the most produced, and you're going to see them on the shelves the most.
All right.
So, yeah, for all those people, if you see Scorponok, you might want to pick him up because he's underproduced, and Dan got this information from those dealers.
Oh, no kidding.
So they yeah. generally know what they're talking about.
They do keep up with that sort of thing. This is true. I'm still just blown away by the early morning standing in line with the dealers outside of Toys R Us. That's just awesome. Because I used to do that sort of thing in, like, high school. And you know, the dealers would kind of kid around with me. So it's something that I don't do anymore, which is too bad, because the town I live in doesn't really have any resources like that. So that is not even possible. I guess Target.
Yeah. Target, yeah. It's funny, in high school I never actually did this. Once I went off to college is when I began to do the line waiting.
Yeah.
I've done it for video game systems, of course.
Nice.
Overnight for Xbox.
Dan actually waited, as you just said, overnight for the release of the Xbox 360. So he's really a trooper when it comes to these things.
That is impressive.
And Dan, weren't you telling me it was raining and freezing out?
It was basically sleeting at one point for the first time.
Oh, man.
And how long did you stand outside the store?
From 7 p.m. to 9 a.m.
Nice.
So that's, what, 14 full hours?
Yeah. Well, I made friends with the people in line next to me, and one of their fathers owned a restaurant, and they went and picked up a giant outdoor tent, which was a huge advantage. It was a little late. But, you know, because we were already wet, but after, it was still nice to have, it helped.
Man.
So again, Charlie, Dan is he's no line amateur.
That's right.
He really has, you know, his credentials speak for themselves.
Indeed.
I certainly would not wait 14 hours for anything.
Yeah, well, it takes a lot of patience, and you have to be very personable, and you have to be able to make friends with people you're waiting in line with, because if you don't like them, then it's going to be miserable.
And you have to bring, like, an empty Snapple bottle or something? I mean...
Yeah. Well, if you're going alone, that's where making friends comes in handy.
That's right. It's really a team sport, I guess, if, you know, the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things. I mean, you're all kind of there for the same purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be there for...
It's camaraderie. Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well make a new friend.
There you go. Now, Uncle, I think it's disappointing that your friend here has been doing this in you know, your geographic location, and you've been, you know, not.
I got to give it to him. This is one of the main reasons I said we have to get him on there, because I totally dropped the ball with the morning launch of the Transformers action figures. So I wanted someone who was actually there. I wanted a first-hand report.
Yeah.
And speaking about that, Dan, I'd like to ask you, I went to the same Toys R Us that he went to and we both went to earlier today for the Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith Midnight Madness. And what I saw went on was crazy. I mean, there were people pushing and shoving. There were, like, it didn't really get down into fist fights, but it was like animals. It was like being almost at a rock concert, and people were kind of, like, you know, jostling just to spend money on these plastic action figures, and it was really amazing. Did you see anything like that this morning?
Oh, it's funny you mention that. Actually, walking into the store, one dealer grabbed the shopping cart and basically pulled it out of the line of the other shopping carts.
Okay.
And nearly knocked over two of the other dealers to get into the store with the shopping cart.
Really?
That's awesome. He grabbed a weapon.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Another thing that's interesting was they were really kind of quiet mentioning what was going on, because there were some, you know, mothers with their young children who walked up the line asking what's going on today. Is there some kind of video game being released or toys? And they really just ignored these people.
Wow.
They wouldn't say anything to the mothers with the kids. So it was pretty interesting to see how they just kind of
Yeah, see, that drives home the message that I'm always curious about, which is, you know, are they in it because they enjoy it, or are they in it because it's their line of work and they're kind of cutthroat? And I think that kind of proves the which one of those it is.
But again, Charlie, by the same token, I mean, I don't want to ever want to defend someone that just buys these items that I also like to buy and turns them around on eBay for a quick buck. But by the same token, why should some mother who just is, you know, chilling out getting coffee at Starbucks also get the benefit of their knowledge that they spent time researching?
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, this is the primary reason I refuse to make anything around this hobby more of a business, because I just think it would really taint, you know, my ability to enjoy it on the level that I do. Because, yeah, you would have to look at your bottom line. You know, if these guys are paying their car payments and their mortgage by somehow selling, you know, toys, yeah, you got to kind of keep that pretty close to the breast.
No, I agree. What's an interesting thing to note is...
Hey, Uncle, turn off your dehumidifier, dude.
Yeah, that was the dehumidifier making a cameo appearance yet again.
That's right.
It, for that.
It likes those cameos. So yeah, you were saying, Dan, I'm sorry.
Another reason why I really don't like dealers is I collected the entire Masters of the Universe line, the new one.
Oh, yeah.
From the UTV show in 2000. And it was a nightmare to collect all those figures.
Now, was this the line that they had the old packaging and then they had it wrapped in, like, the black protective outer box? Or was that...
No, this is from the new cartoon.
Oh, the extreme,
Charlie,
like...
You're talking about... Sorry about that, Charlie. You're talking about is the re-release of the original Masters of the Universe figure.
That's right.
In the year 2001-2002, Mattel relaunched the brand with an amazing cartoon and awesome action figures sculpted by the Four Horsemen, which is a team of action figure sculptors that just, they make some of the best action figures I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Fantastic.
And maybe Dan can help me out and tell me, and tell us a little bit about what it was like trying to get people that weren't He-Man or Skeletor in the line.
Well, the Four Horsemen worked with Tom McFarlane.
Oh, that's right. They got their start with McFarlane.
And so they did a lot of those action figures and stuff. And they went to do the new He-Man Master Universe toy line. Collecting the toys, however, Mattel just ruined the shipment. They packaged every case with 5 He-Man, 5 Skeletor, and like one random extra character.
Oh, no.
These would be wiped off the shelves within minutes.
Yeah.
To hunt these down literally took me quite... The toy line only lasted about a year and a half, and it took me about 3.5 years to collect the entire line.
Wow. Now, other than He-Man and Skeletor, how many were there that you had to somehow find at a count of one per box?
There was about probably 20 to 30 figures.
Oh, my God.
Yes, there were not He-Man or Skeletor or variants of them.
Yeah.
Right, and then there were also the convention exclusives, which were brand new action figures that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Not just repaints, huh?
Yeah.
So, for example, if you wanted the action figure of Keldor, which was Skeletor's, I guess, pre-skeleton form, you had to attend the San Diego Comic-Con and purchase it at Mattel's booth if you did not want to spend $150 on it on eBay.
And I imagine it was almost that much at their booth.
Well, I think it was pretty reasonable at the booth, but again, the only place that you could actually get it was this one convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, the booth, how they set it up was you had to spend, I believe, $50, and then you were entered into a raffle to receive a figure.
Whoa.
So,
All right.
You spend $50 on action figures, and then you get into the raffle. And the raffles were pretty generous.
Okay, but
so
still.
Most likely leaving.
Yeah, but still no guarantee, right? That's tough.
There was no guarantee, Charlie. And there was, I guess, a good number of people that, you know, spent $50 on whatever at Mattel's booth just to be entered for the raffle for the chance to get this Keldor and walked away empty-handed.
That's rough. Wow.
Yeah.
So I can see, you know, talk about, you know, kind of like that world championship cart, talk about the kind of shenanigans that really drive up the aftermarket price.
Yeah. So, yeah, Charlie, just back to the movie line. Are you going to plan on buying any of this?
Well, you know, I'm hearing these great stories from you guys, and I think that Optimus, at the very least, sounds pretty excellent. I want to hear maybe a little bit more about some of the different figures that you found today.
Well, I actually, of course, in true Chris fashion, have not opened any of the toys that I have purchased. But Dan actually opened up the Starscream action figure, which is, I believe, an F-15 Raptor.
Oh, yes.
And I was, you know, checking him out when I was at Dan's house, and he looks pretty cool.
All right. Is it, so now that is that the size below the Optimus figure? Like it's the middle size, middle range size?
Well, the way it does is the Optimus is the most expensive. He's the leader price point. He's $39.99.
Yeah.
Then we have the Voyager price point, which includes Starscream. Dan, what's that one?
There's Blackout, which is the helicopter.
Right.
This is Ratchet that I'm holding right now, which is a search and rescue vehicle.
And I think there's Ironhide as well, who's Ironhide. A GMC Topkick. And I think those are the four Voyagers. Is that it?
Yeah, I think there's four.
Okay. And then, of course, below then is the deluxe price point, which is $9.99.
Then you get your Scorponok chase figure and things like that.
Right.
And are there any of, can you maybe tell us, if you heard from the dealers, any of the other rare or short-packed figures that are out today?
I think you said Wreckage might be one.
Wreckage was another,
okay.
The one that was under package. The other figures are Brawl, Bumblebee,
Jazz,
and
Barricade.
Okay. Cool, yeah, because certainly learning what those short packs are definitely helps our listeners to identify, you know, if you see it on the shelf and the dealer hasn't gotten there yet, you're lucky and you ought to grab it.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned Jazz, and of course that puts me in mind of your friend and mine, Scatman Crothers. And just as a little sidebar, last night we watched a fine movie called Detroit 9000, which is kind of an old crime blaxploitation movie from 1973, I believe, and it did feature in a minor guest-starring role Scatman Crothers as a reverend, and it was awesome.
So, did you actually watch this?
We did, with The Chase last night. It was a good time. It's actually Quentin Tarantino in, I think, 2003, started a very small distribution company under Buena Vista called Rolling Thunder, and they released only 5 movies, and these were basically where Quentin, you know, went and got the rights to stuff he enjoyed watching, I guess, that, you know, he then stole from and made his movies, and he started re-releasing them, and I guess just didn't make enough money, but Detroit 9000 was one of the very few films that Rolling Thunder released, and I've recently, of course, from Hollywood Video, acquired the VHS tape of Rolling Thunder's re-release of Detroit 9000 for $1, and we had a great time watching it last night.
Wow,
that's great. You know, I watched a movie last night as well. I watched Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest.
Okay.
Did you see this, Charlie?
I've had it from Netflix for about 3 months, and I still have not watched it. I'm looking forward to hearing your yes or no.
Dan, did you watch this?
The second one, yeah, I've seen all 3 of them as of date.
Now, what did you think of the second one?
I enjoyed the second one. It was, I called it the Pirates Strike Back, because it's very similar to Empire Strikes Back,
huh.
The entire format.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. It was the format and the way the plot really worked out, especially with a cliffhanger ending. It was very Empire-esque, but I thought it was just too silly. Like, a lot of there's a sequence when they're trapped in a ball made out of human bones, and it's just, I don't know, it was silly. And there was another sword fight that took place on top of a rolling water wheel between Jack Sparrow and then the evil British guy, and Orlando Bloom was involved in it, and I don't know, like, when I watch a pirate movie, I want to see some pretty awesome sword fighting, and I think the sword fights did not deliver at all.
Yeah, but I think the point that you're missing is it's also a Disney film.
That's very true. Again, the target audience is probably like 7 to 8 year old children who probably would think that this is, you know, the coolest thing in the world to fight on top of a water wheel, where I just thought it was far-fetched and stupid.
Yeah, no, it had both the elements of stupidity and, you know, exciting action for an older crowd, but I personally enjoyed the second one.
In terms of acting, I would say the best fight action sequence in the movie was when Orlando Bloom and the crew fought the Kraken. I thought that was a really cool sequence. And the Kraken, of course, is this giant octopus-type thing that Davy Jones can summon, you know, and it just basically eats pirate ships like nothing. And there was a cool battle sequence between I guess it was the Black Pearl, and the crew of the Black Pearl versus the Kraken, where they don't kill it, but they manage to damage it and save it off.
Well, you know, far be it from us to say that any of the movies we watch are unplausible and stupid.
So. Yeah, I mean, that is very true. I mean, one of my favorite films is Wild Zero, which is beyond all plausibility.
Well, and Uncle, I gotta tell you, last night was a doubleheader, and the other part of that doubleheader was Hell Comes to Frogtown, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper, and man, was that an awesome movie.
Now, Dan, I've known for a long time, I know he's a huge Rowdy Roddy Piper fan, he has been ever since he was young. Have you seen Hell Comes to Frogtown?
Yes, my first experience with it was on TNT at like 2 a.m.
Up all night?
It actually might have been, I think that was yours, it might have been. It was on one of those stations late night, 2 a.m., and I watched it.
Nice. I, unfortunately, Charlie, have never seen the film. I've read much about it on the internet. Yeah, it really seems like a must-see.
It really was. Like basically, I had my stack of films I just got, and Chase looked through them excitedly, and we decided that one had to be seen. And I will go into it in greater depth later. I just, due to my Scatman segue, I kind of felt that I had to at least bring that up, because it's such an awesome viewing experience. But now, is there anything else that you think that our listeners at home ought to know about, bringing it on back to Transformers? Anything else about this line that people ought to know, ought to look for, and also maybe when the second wave is due to be released, any dates and stuff like that?
Now, me and Dan were talking about this earlier, and I think he has a very good point. He told me, what did you say about Megatron?
Well, Megatron, if you've looked, he's been kept on the wraps pretty tightly. There's only been a few pictures of him in his robot form. No one's really sure what he transforms into in the movie. And I believe that's one of the reasons why they're waiting on the toy.
So they did manage to keep something secret, because it seems like these fan sites somehow, get everything early, and I don't know how, but I guess they managed to somehow keep that under wraps.
Yeah, and I guess, a good way to keep that under wraps is to not release the toy a month early.
So on the packages of the ones that you got, is there like a Megatron figure on the back all blacked out like they used to do?
No,
he's not even on the packaging.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Which raises the suspicion that they may, re-release the packaging later with Megatron on it, which is always good for the OCD completists among us. Like,
Right. Those unfortunate people that collect variants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. I mean, that's got to be a very, very, very pricey
It always that passion is always tickling right around my edges, and I try to be careful to not get too swept up by it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Charlie? I think that about covers it. I'm so glad that we could do this really important podcast today about such an important topic as the launch of the Transformers movie toys. I'd like to thank my good friend Dan for helping us out today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dan. You really brought some great knowledge to us today about this line. It's exciting. I've got to go check it out, for like a month later when they finally make it to my small town. We'll see.
Well, Charlie, there's nothing wrong with clearance. That's what I say.
Hey, amen, Uncle. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll keep bringing you the latest news next time. Later, Uncle. Later, Dan.
Bye.
Bye.